Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are pretty old school, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird.
So, Jonah, I was thinking about our guest today. I'm so excited that he's here. And I got to meet him a couple times when he hosted SNL while I was in the cast. And the first time he hosted while I was there, he did something so funny that I will never forget. And I don't know if he remembers it, but we can ask him about it as soon as we introduce him and he's officially here. It was the end of the show he was hosting. And we were about to do the good nights where everyone hugs and sure. The host thanks everybody. And we were about to come back from the commercial break. And it happened to be Kate McKinnon's first show ever.
Okay.
And it was only her first show. Like, she came at the end of a season. And right before,
she had an incredible show. She was in a lot of stuff.
You know, she's Kate. She was so good.
Sure.
And right before we came back from the commercial break, our host today turned to her and he said, I don't know if you remember this. He said, "Hey, Kate, you blew it." It was so funny. I asked her, she doesn't remember it. It seems like you don't remember it either. But it was such a sweet moment because obviously she had such an incredible show. And if she hadn't, you wouldn't have done that. But it was so funny. It really was like one of the sweetest, funniest things I've ever seen.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
She doesn't either. I observed it.
You sure you're not making it up?
I know. Okay. I'm not making it. I watched it happen and it made me laugh so hard.
But it was all as everyone's gathering.
It was as everyone's gathering.
On the tongue of the stage there.
Yes.
Before we're coming back.
And we were going
to
come back from commercial. Yeah. And you just turned to her because it was her first show. And you just said, "Hey, Kate." And obviously I thought you were going to say, "Incredible."
Yeah.
Right, Joe? And you went, "You blew it." It was so sweet. It was like so funny. It really, well, let's introduce
him.
You can't talk. We have to introduce you. Yeah, please put the sweatshirt over so it's like you're not here yet. Okay, our guest needs no introduction.
Well, then what are we doing?
Well, we're going to do it anyways. So don't act like you're here. He's an actor and comedian known for his incredible tenure on Saturday Night Live and starring roles in iconic comedy films such as Elf, Anchorman, Step Brothers, and most recently the film Spirited. You can also hear him on the Ron Burgundy podcast and other podcasts on the Big Money Players Network, which he founded alongside iHeartMedia. Please welcome our boss, Will Ferrell.
I'm here.
Oh my gosh.
For everyone listening, I was covering my head with a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
So I could make an entrance.
So you could make an entrance, yeah.
I don't know if you remember this too, because okay. This is something that was high on my list to talk to you about.
Okay.
But one of the other times I hosted, or I was either visiting
okay.
or doing just a bit, I forget. And we were talking in the hallway, and it was towards the end of the show, and you unfortunately
oh my God.
Weren't in the show.
Okay, okay.
That show, which I knew.
Yes.
But we were all going, and everyone was saying hi, and I'm like, Vanessa, you're so good. And you were like, Will, I wasn't in the show. And I knew you weren't in the show, but I was just trying to say, you're so good in general. Like, every time I watch the show, you're so good. And I was trying to soften the blow of not being in that night's show. And then it came off really weird. And you were like, dude, I wasn't in the show tonight.
That's such a rude response from me.
And then I was like, no, I know. And I was like, why did I even say anything?
Oh my God.
I just want to apologize for creating that awkward moment.
No, I want to apologize for my response. I could have been like, that's so nice for you to say. That yeah. softens the blow.
But I think you thought I was just an addled person who was like, all of you were wonderful. and you were just kind of correcting me. Like, well, actually, I wasn't in it tonight.
I don't remember that, but when I think of you, I think of a very sweet person.
So I don't feel as bad now.
You shouldn't.
It was your fault. Your response
was
inappropriate.
It was my fault. Well, and what would you say is like the definition of addled?
Oh, an addled without your wit, not
yes.
with your wits.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. I was recently that person at SNL because I went to one of the after parties. I was mm-hmm. in New York and I went with Molly. Molly and I were doing the New Yorker Festival and our friend Merrick, like we went to this after party and it was all cast and writers that I didn't really know.
Sure.
And I started telling everyone, good job. And so it was like, would be one of the guys I knew was a writer because he's one of the three guys
still was there when you guys were there.
Well, no, he's one of the Please Don't Destroy guys. And I think he was standing there with I now know his girlfriend. And I said to both of them, I said, you guys are so, you're talented. And I sort of made eye contact with them and then sort of made eye contact with like whoever else was around to sort of like maybe I'd be hitting like a percentage of
like the compliment ray you were sending out
sort of looking towards the ceiling and kind of being like
and there was
so
just
much
blank,
talent
blank stares
and I could tell that they were like this kind of like older, out of it lady, like doesn't know
who's who
or what we're doing here. And they were absolutely right.
Well, so, it happens.
But anyways,
what we're saying is no good deed goes unpunished.
That's right. I was just trying to be nice to
And I was trying to be nice too. And sorry if you ever thought I was, didn't. Realize you weren't even in the show.
Anyway. Have you ever gone just to a party like that? Have you ever just gone to an SNL party?
I don't think I've done I was just in town, let's go check out the SNL party. I don't think I have.
It was such an unexpected thing. It's actually Jim Downey was like hanging, like he sort of, for lack of a better word, pressured us to go.
Oh, okay.
And not in a...
Invited?
Jim Downey was there and he was going and he, you know, was sort of like, you've got to go. We were doing this...
because he was at the festival.
He was at the New Yorker Festival. Yeah. And so we just sort of, maybe he didn't go to that, but he was,
hanging around.
And he's such a nice, and we thought, oh, we'll just go. But that's such a not, for me to go to a late party.
I know.
But it just felt like, I don't know if you've ever had that feeling at any of those events. I just felt like, oh, I've really been gone for a long time.
No, I started to feel it each time with hosting the show. I'm knowing less and less people who work here. And even one of the first times I went back to host, which was, you know, Amy Poehler, Horatio.
People you knew.
I hadn't been gone that long. So I knew a bulk of everyone.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because I all of a sudden was the host. And as we were rehearsing, because you know how rehearsals very start and stop.
Yes.
And they're fixing. And so there was a huge pause in whatever rehearsing. And the cast, even though I knew them, were now doing their own bits with each other. And I was like alone sitting on a stool. And I was like, oh, I'm now the host. And I was like,
yeah.
I resisted the impulse to be like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
What's the bit?
Yeah, and that's like, no, really funny. That's,
it's their turf now.
You're the, you're separate.
So
that's really funny. I went back once and I did a Weekend Update sketch like the year after I left. And I was in one of those guest dressing rooms. And I loved it so much because I got that plate of cheese and nuts.
Oh, yes.
Like a lot
room
of Gouda.
Room temperature.
So much Gouda, too. You go, who's picking this?
You know, they must buy 80% of the cheese budget is dedicated towards Gouda.
Yeah.
They must have a really, like their cheese guy is like, I specialize in Gouda.
Yeah, yeah. It's just such a...
I'll give you a great break on the Gouda. Yeah.
It's just such a smoky plate in general, such smoky flavors, but so fun because you normally don't get that. And then I found a lot of the cast, because I had just left, a lot of the cast were coming into my room because I had
trying to
snacks.
Steal. Yeah. Oh, because they're starving.
Yeah, because they're sort of like, I think they want, it was sort of like, I had like this sort of big open room with like, you know, all kinds of club soda and stuff, and they were sort of...
I once used a snack plate on Good Morning America to admonish a segment producer. So I was doing Good Morning America, and same sort of thing. They had the big Danish tray in my dressing room with bagels and croissants and wrapped really tightly with the saran wrap. And this segment producer person was like, I don't know how many times he said it. He's like, and you know, just have a lot of fun out there. Just have a lot of fun. Just have a lot. And as we're walking down the hall, he's like, and I'm like, hold on, let me guess. Have a lot of fun? He didn't realize I hid the croissant plate kind of on the side and I walked out onto the stage and forced everyone to take a croissant. And so it's like George Stephanopoulos looking at me like, I'm like, nope, we're not going to start the interview till George takes a bite of his croissant because we got to have some fun. We're going to have some fun with it, right? And live morning television. And yeah, it was deliciously uncomfortable, but they were kind of laughing and they were taking one bite out of the weird bagel and kind of going with me. And then when I got done, the guy was like, okay, I get it. Touche.
So he knew it. That's good. He knew what you were doing, but oh my gosh.
Dude, just relax.
But also good for you for having the confidence. You have to follow through on that so hard. Like, you can't give
come
up.
On.
You couldn't just put the plate down if they said no and been
I had to forget this
was based on something from backstage.
Oh, this now feels weird. Yeah. Why did I bring this out? I was like, nope, everyone's going to take a bagel or a croissant.
And you have to make them do
Michael
it or
Strahan,
else.
Michael Strahan, bite into your bagel, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible.
Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, were you doing a lot of films while you're on the show? Because I know that's kind of was a thing when we were growing up. A lot of the cast was doing movies and stuff. Or was that later for you?
It was, I think, around that third year of being on the show, we did the Night at the Roxbury movie.
Yes.
And then that next summer was like Superstar.
Yes.
And then the following summer was Ladies' Man. So yeah, I kind of started doing those SNL movies.
Yeah. They don't really do those as much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A great way to kind of cut your teeth on being on a film set.
Totally. Yeah. I'm sure.
You already knew a lot of the people, I guess.
Yeah. It was great.
Do you feel like, we were talking about this a little before, like, I just feel like you must be such a delightful person. Like, you must have so many people from SNL, because I feel this way. I'm not saying I'm a delightful person, okay? But you
that's still up for debate. Okay. But from what Jonah's told me.
But do you feel like, okay, Jonah, do you feel like there's people that you see, like, even if you see them rarely, that you're just so delightful? Like, it must be, I don't even know what I'm asking you. It's like I'm on the Chris Farley show. But I feel like, do you have people from that show? Because obviously you make such a tight-knit, like, family on that show,
right.
And then you go off and you do other things. There must be certain people from that show, and you don't have to name names, okay?
I'm not going to. There's
New York
no way.
Post.
Right. Or, page six.
Page six.
Yeah.
But do you just, there's certain people that you just, it's like such, I feel that the longer I'm away from the show, the more that like certain people I see them and it's just like, I almost can't breathe. I'm so excited.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like, it is one of the more unique kind of entertainment experiences to go through, right? Between the excitement of it, the pressure of it, but those bonds you form are like, so much fun.
Yeah.
So I always feel bad for any of us that's kind of a civilian that's around anyone who's been on SNL because within 30 minutes of any sort of conversation, it'll go back to kind of telling war stories of
Sure.
Do you remember that one time?
Yeah. And,
but you can't help it. It's so much fun. It was such a big part of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I love running into, I'm not going to name names.
Yeah. I'd rather you just, just out of respect.
Oh, I want to name names.
Jonah, do you feel like the civilian in this?
I do. I haven't not been on the show. It's okay. Yeah. No, it's really fascinating.
You were probably at half of the shows.
I was at a lot of the shows because I was living in New York at the time. So I would go a lot. Yeah. And then I'd be like, oh, it's too late. And then the next week, Matt was like, do you want to come? I'd be like, okay.
Did you love having people come to the show?
I did.
Same here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I knew other people were like, I can't take it. I can't say I loved it.
I loved doing it. I loved having Jonah and my best friend Gwen would come all the time too, to the point where like now whenever I do like Seth Meyers' show or whatever, he'll be like, how are Jonah and Gwen? like there was
That's
a sketch
great.
That Colin wrote my last show that like we did at the table and it mentioned Jonah and Gwen. Like everyone talks about. Yeah,
oh
they're
God.
big. But yeah, I loved having people. It was always fun.
My hardest part of the show was asking other writers and cast members if they were using their tickets that week.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've had groups of 15 people. I've had like crazy groups.
Yeah. Sometimes I would get so distracted by like organizing who was coming that it would be like, I have to remember that like
I have to
focus on the sketches doing and stuff.
Back to the Kate McKinnon thing encounter. I was stealing a little page from Harper Steele because she used to write post-it notes when we were doing the show and leave them at the page desk. And the page would be like, there's a message from Steele for, I'm like, oh, and she said it's urgent. And I'm like, okay. And I'd run and it'd just be handwritten, don't blow it. Don't blow it tonight.
That's really funny.
And so I think I was channeling.
Well, whatever you're doing, it was so funny.
I love that we both don't remember it.
You both don't remember. I'm the only one who remembers it.
Gosh.
So it was an intense good nights for you guys where I probably wasn't in the show. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Oh.
Is that cool?
We're just saying that.
I was told there was going to... It doesn't matter. No. Yeah, I guess we have to.
Okay. All right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
And we're back.
It's a roll of the dice whether I'll be back here or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
You take your break.
Break. Let's
and then it. We're back.
And we're back. We're still here.
Yep.
Did you have a nice break?
Guess what was in the break room?
What's that?
A whole selection of Gouda.
Wow.
What are the odds?
So, well, you grew up in Irvine.
Yes. Irvine, California.
Irvine, California.
Which is Southern California.
Yes. And there are a lot of...
But I like that you said it just alone. as if the world would know
where it is.
Do you think most people might not know? Yeah,
most
I guess
people probably
it's
don't.
Kind of a small.
Yeah.
I know that some people like Rage Against the Machine, Zach De La Rocha were from there. Was that? And it seems like around the same year as you. Was that? Did you know those guys when you were in high school?
So here's another crazy SNL story.
Okay.
Sorry, Jonah.
No, please.
My first year on the show, so 95-96 season, and Tim and Zach, who I went to high school, Tim Comerford, who was in my class, Zach was a year below us.
Okay.
Tim had been playing in bands and this, that, and the other, and then next thing I know, they're part of this band that everyone's talking about called Rage Against the Machine, and we're on the same show together.
Wow.
Whoa.
And it was like it was in that first half of the season, so within the first 9 shows, and we were laughing going like, how crazy is this? We're on SNL. These three guys from Irvine.
That's unbelievable.
Very cool.
Did you ever see Zach's band before that, Inside? I'm a music journalist. This is like like he had this band Inside Out.
No.
Did you ever saw it? Okay.
No, but I think Tim was part. I did watch Tim perform with a band called Crystal Pistol.
Okay. I haven't heard of them, but I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
Which I believe is a reference to a penis. I don't know.
I feel like that's maybe something that you cooked up. No. I'm just kidding. That's
now
I think
Vanessa's
that's
out of the conversation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he was just playing in, and I didn't even know Zach was into music.
Really?
I just remember Zach as like a skateboarder guy, and we'd play pickup basketball.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, he's this amazing lead singer. And then full circle, Tom Morello has become a friend through our kids' school.
Wow.
So.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Crazy.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we are, again, for like, so excited.
We're really nervous, I think.
You.
How are you guys feeling about the new setup here?
Again, this is only our second podcast.
I'm used to doing this in a room in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a little more involved, but it feels good.
For our listeners, they've set up two luxurious couches.
Yes. Yes.
I'm on more of a love seat.
Yeah.
You guys are on a full couch.
But of the same.
With some throw pillows.
Some throws.
Yeah.
Yep. We're just hanging.
So we're just hanging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super chill.
Kind of a chill, kind of like friends in a
friends in an office.
Office.
Yeah. In an abandoned office.
In an office with couches in it.
Yeah.
In it.
And some equipment.
And some equipment.
Audio equipment.
Just to just pretend it's not, I don't even see it. Or look.
Here's how it's going to go.
Here's
another commercial?
Everybody.
No. Keep it going.
Let's keep it going.
So we asked you to bring in a topic today.
I gave you several. Yeah.
And the one that we picked is Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Okay. To kind of talk about, to kind of riff on.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does Scooby-Doo, I'm about to rhyme here, mean to you?
Mm. You know. Yeah, that was. I did not see that coming. It's thrown me. Huge Saturday morning cartoon
kid,
right? And Scooby-Doo, between the solving of the mysteries, which were super scary in my brain at that time, and the suspension of disbelief every week that maybe they weren't going to solve it.
Yeah.
But they still did.
Yeah.
But somehow, like, I kept coming back for more. And just the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Fred's ascot.
Right.
I loved.
Right.
He wore an ascot scarf.
Yeah. And you liked that.
I loved his style.
Look. Yeah.
I think I had a crush on Velma.
Velma. Yes.
And then just, Shaggy. I don't know so much about Shaggy. It was weird to me.
Yeah.
Like why he was allowed to hang around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He needed to kind of
I don't know what his skill set was. His best friend was a dog.
Yeah.
And, but still, but okay.
Yeah.
That's cool of them.
Yeah.
They do all the hard work.
Yeah.
But I just love, it was just my favorite cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was like.
And the Mystery Machine, which was their van they traveled around in.
Yeah. Right.
Which I drove a van in high school that was similar to the Mystery Machine. My dad had a Chevy van that I would sometimes use as my car to drive to high school, which had, you guys won't know what this, it was a manual transmission, but it's called three on a tree. It's just three gears.
Oh.
But it's up here.
Okay.
As so you opposed have a clutch to the shifter. Too?
You got the clutch and everything, but you're shifting. He just hauled his music equipment around and it was a windowless van. This doesn't sound good.
No,
but the Mystery Machine, I don't think, had windows either.
Was it really cool that when you would drive that van to work? Because I remember being in high school and kids who had cars like that. It was like, we were all like, we got to get in that car.
It was cool because it was kind of beat up.
Yeah.
And a little bit vintagey. I hung out with a group of friends who liked doing weird stuff. So we celebrated the nonconformist kind of thing. And while all these young Irvine suburban kids had brand new cars, I had this beat up equipment van that became cool.
Right.
Banana yellow, bright yellow.
Yeah. So, there was a kid in your grade, Jonah, who had like a big yellow
truck. Yep.
Truck. And it was like the coolest thing. Like I grew up kind of near Molly in near Shaker Rock.
Sure.
And we both did. And and there were a lot of kids who had these really nice cars, but I feel like that yellow truck was like...
I had a lot of bumper stickers on my car, like just covered with band.
We actually would sneak bumper stickers on each other's cars to mess.
Okay.
Like I would come out and there'd just be a U.S. Marines bumper sticker on the back of the other car I drove, which was a beat up VW Bug.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Ah, oh, they got me. So we'd have bumper
That's
sticker
really
wars.
That's really funny. Yeah. Yeah, Jonah drove a Jetta, and it was like, we would drive in to school, and he would be like blasting NoFX and stuff.
And
blasting
music. And we'd be late.
I felt so cool. Believe it or not, I wasn't very punk in high school.
That's hard to believe.
Jonah, I know. Jonah, and so I'd come in like so studious and all my books, but we'd be blasting like... You know, whatever.
And you got a little street cred.
Yeah, and I'd be like, I guess I'm getting out of my brother's car. I was probably sometimes annoyed because we were late, but like, I was like so like, I felt like it was such a cool way to show up to school.
Of course.
You know, like, whatever. I guess I'm just listening to this punk music.
But scoot back to Scooby-Doo, speaking of music, they always have a music montage.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was so cool.
Yeah. Do you remember like being a kid on Saturday mornings and watching it? Or like, do you have a memory of what that?
I just knew I was like early riser.
Yeah.
I would get, and there was just kind of a lineup between like Scooby-Doo, Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Okay.
And Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest.
Yes.
It was a big Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Here's where I was also a weird, my younger brother though still wouldn't wake up before I would.
Okay.
And I loved playing Monopoly.
Okay.
By myself, because the whole house was still sleeping.
Yeah.
And so I would set up the board and I'd play. And then when it wasn't my turn, I'd sneak into my mom's room and I would move her piece. I'd set up for two players.
Okay.
I would be, you know, the dog or the car or the shoe, whatever. I'd move around the board. And then when it was the other person's turn, I'd roll for them. They'd land on, and so I'd go into my mom's room like, Mom. Yes or no on Park Place.
Oh, that's so
She'd
sweet.
Be like, what? Just say yes or no. She'd be like, no. Okay. Which means she didn't want to buy it.
Yeah. Right.
I'd do whole rounds of playing by myself.
Yeah.
Until everyone finally woke up.
What a patient kid. That's
patience.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find like having that money? We played kind of a lot of Monopoly in our house.
Sure.
And I remember just like, the feeling of having a lot of that money just truly made me feel rich. And like, it was hard for me to like give up that money.
I have a money story too. I have two money stories.
Great.
So yes, I can totally identify with that. And I always felt like we were running out of $500 bills.
Yeah.
There was in plenty of hundreds, but the 500s would go through quickly, I feel like.
Okay, maybe there were less.
And
yeah.
There was a neighborhood across the street from the apartment complex I grew up in was Damber Drugs. And I was walking through the toy section one day. You could buy refills of Monopoly money.
I've never heard of that.
Well, wow. Let's just say it's the only time I've ever shoplifted. I took a stack of 500s. I stole fake money and I put it in my pocket and I walked out really stiffly. I'm sure if there was a camera, I'd be like the worst kid actor by the time I walked. I'm walking out of the drugstore. No need to look over here. And then I ran home and I stole Monopoly money to add to our games. We had plenty of 500s.
Oh my God. And you still remember it. You still, of course.
I still remember
it. What a big, yeah.
And then I didn't realize we're going to be talking about money, but.
Is this the other story?
This is the other story. I brought my favorite Christmas present that I got this year from my wife. It's a little attaché case. Guess what it's filled with? Tiny stacks of money.
Oh my God.
Everyone here in the room? That's like 10 grand, at least. She got this for me.
That's such a great...
Yeah.
And you keep it on your person? At,
I just thought maybe we'll talk about this today. Maybe there's be a good reason for me to show
you. You knew money would guys. Come.
Yeah. You knew you're meeting with the Bayers, money might come up.
And then... And then that relates to SNL, too.
Yeah.
Because when I met Lauren... Because I had read a story about how Adam Sandler did something where he just pretended to hump a chair or something and was signed on the spot.
Okay, okay.
And I remember reading that going, you know what? He didn't worry about pleasantries or he just was like funny right away and they signed him and that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And so I thought and I knew I had to meet Lauren for my second audition.
Right.
It was a meeting before you. And I thought, I'm going to walk in with a briefcase. I'm going to fill it full of fake counterfeit money. And as he's talking to me, I'm just going to go like, Lauren, we can all talk till the cows come home, but we all know there's only one thing that really talks, and it's hard, cold cash. And I was going to open it up and set it on his desk. And then I was going to like, so I'm going to walk out of this room and no one needs to know. You can take that money or you don't have to, whatever. And you can decide whether I should be on this show or not. So I walked into the room and Steve Higgins had just been hired as producer. With a briefcase.
With a briefcase.
What comedian walks into a room with a briefcase? A leather briefcase. It wasn't even a cool looking one. And I walk in, I can tell the vibe is not for joking around. And it was super serious. And I was like, oh my God, I got so freaked out. And I never got to my bit. So I'm just holding my briefcase.
Did he ask you what it was for?
It's the most unfunny thing ever. A weird, shy, quiet guy. It's supposed to be funny. Like, I'm supposed to be humping a chair. My inspiration was like, go hump a chair, do something active. And I'm just like, uh-huh, yes. Well, I was thinking about doing this character. I wouldn't do that. Oh, okay. Finally, after 20 minutes, Higgins goes, nice briefcase. I'm like, yeah, thanks. He's like, anything else you want to ask me? I'm like, no.
Oh,
and
my God.
And I walked out, and he never knew. I told him later, and he thought it was so funny that I couldn't pull the trigger on the bit. So... anyway.
That's a perfect gift for,
this is a perfect gift.
Yeah, I love that. I remember meeting with him and he asked me at the end, do you have any questions? Is there anything you want to know? And I remember we were such huge Chris Farley fans growing up and I wanted to ask him about Chris Farley, but I didn't want to...
Feel like, was this
appropriate
time or place?
Yeah, so I didn't want to be like on the Chris Farley show, like being like, is Chris Farley a cool... Was he a cool guy? Like, he's great, right? You know? So I remember like stopping and like, he probably had to watch me think through
process,
like what my Chris Farley question was going to be. And then I just said, I probably have a bunch of questions, but I can't think of any right now. That was it. And he was like, okay.
Great last impression.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I also said to him, like, I love that I said this because I didn't do it ever.
Yeah.
That I really wanted to live in New York to do character study on people. That I could see myself like sitting on a park bench and studying people and creating characters. Did I ever sit on a bench and like sit in the middle of Times Square or Grand Central State? Like, no, I never did that.
I mean,
you're trying to sound like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, like you, and also, I mean, I waited for that meeting for probably 2 hours.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once I got in there, I was just trying to impress him, but it was mostly him talking. And I remember he said something about, you get on the show and it hits you kind of like a wave and then you learn how to... It was so abstract.
Yep.
I knew that he was trying to get me to understand it, but I really didn't understand what he was saying. And so, but then I didn't want to seem like I didn't understand it. So I didn't want to be like, what are you talking about?
Sorry, to close the circle.
Please.
On the briefcase full of money.
Yeah.
And now I forget. So a meeting, several auditions, then he comes to LA to watch us at the Groundlings. Then the following week, another meeting with Lauren. And I remember thinking, wow. And it was Marcy Klein calling me and she was like, he just wants to meet you again. And I just remember thinking, how many times are we going to meet? I don't know what to say. And she's like, trust me, It turns out that was the meeting where he was telling me I was hired.
Oh, great.
But I didn't know that, but they played it. And I remember telling my roommate at the time, like, gosh darn it, I'm doing my money joke. I don't care. So I brought the briefcase again.
Oh, my God.
To the second, I was like, come hell or high water, I'm doing my fake money bit. I walk in with the briefcase and the receptionist goes, you can just leave your briefcase. I go, yeah, you're right. I just leave it. Immediately lost faith in it again. I sit down. We have the talk. I realize
he's
hiring me. He's like, so you're going to like New York? I'm like, I am? How? You won't know. I mean, we're hiring Sherry O'Terry, so you'll know someone. And then it dawns on me, oh my gosh, I got the job. And then I got self-conscious that I wasn't acting excited enough. So I stood up and I was like, well, thank you so much. I'm going to shake your hand. He's like, do what you have to do.
Oh my God.
And we just awkwardly shook hands. And then I walked out. I was like, I can't believe it. And I told his assistant, I'm like, okay, I've been trying to do this bit 2 times now. Can you just hand him a stack of fake money and tell him I tried to give this to him to bribe him? And then she handed him the fake money after the fact. And
but you weren't there when she did it. But did she report back?
She said he thought it was really funny that he was, after two attempts, you're finally giving him this money. So I tried twice, but I chickened out both times.
You know, the second time it seems like it's really good you didn't do it. Because what if he didn't like it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We know you do like known as a bit of a prankster. I hope that's okay for me to say.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But I mean, how do you know? Do you ever read a room and you're like, you're going into it, like other situations where you're like, hey, this isn't right? Or do you sometimes have to push through that and it's really funny? Like, how do you kind of know?
I always do stuff at the show. I just remember thinking we always have to remind ourselves we're on a comedy show.
Right, right, right.
And so sure. That's why I would wear a weird fake mustache for a week.
Yeah.
And, or pretend I was a guest writer. Or I would just always be doing things to just like, not so much mess, you know, it's not like I was putting a feral cat in someone's dressing room or something like that. But but I was just, it was more bit. It was more just bits to like, always, we should just be having fun at all times.
You know, when I got called, the call, I got it from Lindsay Shook has called me to tell me that I got hired.
Yeah.
And I had just been in New York doing meetings. The way that I did it was like I auditioned in Chicago, then they flew me to New York to audition, then they flew me back to do meetings, and that's when I met with Lorne. And then Lindsay called me and she said, how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm tired. I said, I'm tired from that trip to New York. It was so fun, or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how I phrased it, but then she said, I hope you're not too tired to come back to New York because we'd like to hire you as a cast member. And this is what I said. I said, what if I said I was too tired? Like, and
instead of just going,
silence,
oh my God.
On the other side of the phone.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, oh my God, it's like I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
In a way, I was like, I have to do this bit right now. And it was like, I probably would have been like you bringing the suitcase.
I remember the one time I got to be on a Woody Allen movie, I remember thinking, I'm not going to be so nervous around him that if I feel like I want to be funny, I'm going to try to be funny in front of Woody Allen. I'm not going to push it. And so he wanted to meet me and we were doing camera tests, but he couldn't be there for the day that I was doing but could I come in the day early? So I meet him and we say hi and then I have to leave, but I kind of give him a wave like from across the room, like, bye Woody Allen, I'm leaving. And he stops, he's like, hold on. He comes rushing over and he's like, did you need something? And I said, oh no, I was just saying goodbye. And I couldn't, I'm just like, but while I have you, can I get $20 for parking? And he's like, and he just walks away. And I was like, oh. And I'm walking like down 10th Avenue, just laughing to myself going, oh man, totally shut down. Not even like a courtesy, just a courtesy laugh. Or not even just like, yes, anding.
Yeah.
Like, talk to my assistant. She'll write out a voucher. You know, something. It was like
he wouldn't do it back.
He wouldn't do it back.
That's so funny.
And so I was like, okay, well, keep trying.
Yeah. That's really.
But same sort of thing of like, what if I'm too tired?
I couldn't.
Silence.
Then I said like, oh, I'm not. I was just doing a joke. And she's like, didn't think it was funny. Like it was like,
hey, this is serious business.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is Saturday Night Live.
But it's like, I had to do it. I had a similar experience to that. Like it wasn't a comedy thing, but one of the first job interviews I did, it was like after college, I was interviewing to be a hostess at this restaurant. Like I was living in Cleveland for the summer and I had done other jobs, but none that you had like an official interview in that way. Mm-hmm. Like I had like babysat and done other stuff. Like anyway, So I prepared a weakness. Like, I wanted to know what my strengths and weaknesses were. And I thought a really good weakness
that I prepare too much?
I ask too many questions.
Because I'm so inquisitive.
And I want to do a good job. So I thought, that's a perfect thing to say. I was really like, and that's true. That's going to be a great way to really, show off my skills and maybe a weakness that could help me get the job.
Yeah.
So she interviewed me. And then she never asked me what my weakness was. So at the end of the interview, she said,
would you like to know my weaknesses?
She said, is there anything else you'd like us to know? And I said, do you want to know like a weakness that I have?
By the way, you're like home free.
I'm like, I've got the job.
You're good.
Like, they don't need any other reason.
Yeah.
She said, okay. And I said, the weakness is that I ask a lot of questions because I want to do a good job. And she was like, couldn't have been less interested. And she sort of was like, okay, do you want me to think that's good? Like,
did you see her second guessing her decision?
Did you get the job?
I did get it. And I worked there for a few months and it was great, you know, but it was just crazy that I couldn't let it go. I couldn't just be.
Isn't that funny that in that moment you weren't like, whew, that went great. They didn't ask me the weird thing about do I have any weaknesses?
Right.
But like, hold on. I prepared this. I got to let you know.
Yes. It's so funny that I was like that.
Do you think it's that like wanting to hold your hand over the flame a little bit type of thing?
Maybe.
Or it was just like, I did the work to prepare.
I think that's more what it was.
A fake answer to the weakness question. And I want to display how clever it is.
I think I thought it was such a good answer to that question that if she wasn't going to ask that question, I was going to ask it.
No matter what.
And also, I don't even know if that feels kind of outdated. Like, I don't know if
that's the thing that really
feels like it's a thing from like.
Can I ask, what was the job?
It was being a hostess. I think in movies or like TV shows about job interviews, they go, what are your strengths? And then they go, what are your weaknesses? Like in like big business or like Working Girl or something. And I thought, that's what this is, you know? It feels outdated. Probably 50-50.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you guys will get a lot of letters about this.
Like, maybe.
Are people still asking
people
that question
asking
in the business
that.
World?
Yeah.
Does anyone start out with just like, what are your weaknesses?
Yeah.
Let's just cut to the chase.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. I'm older, but was Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was already done.
There's a new Scooby-Doo show. There's one that comes out today.
Oh.
Called Velma on HBO Max starring Mindy Kaling.
I remember the newer versions were terrible.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
They did a movie in like 2002, I think, like a live action type thing.
Which I watched some of that. I kind of like that. But like when they brought in, remember then Scooby-Doo had a buddy, Scrappy-Doo?
Yeah.
Was that his child?
So I think it was his nephew. And we found out, we did some research.
Yeah.
And they ABC thought that Scrappy-Doo was a bad role model because he was too independent. And like Scooby was more bumbling, and I think they didn't like teaching kids. I don't know, something about
independence?
Interesting.
Yeah.
And if I remember, wasn't Scrappy-Doo a lot more articulate with his speech?
I think so.
Where Scooby kind of, he spoke like a dog trying to.
Right.
He had a harder time.
But then Scrappy was like, hey, what are we doing here?
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think nobody did.
Okay, good.
Did you know Casey Kasem was...
Yeah, it was the voice of...
Of Shaggy.
Shaggy.
But do you know why he left?
No.
Well, this is all stuff we found on the internet, so I don't know if it's really true.
Okay.
But
it says he left
because he was vegetarian, right?
Yeah, he was vegan.
He was vegan, and they did some kind of ad campaign with some kind of... I can't remember the details.
So we don't exactly know why.
Wait, the show did?
The show did or something, but then he came back, and like they made...
The cast of Scooby-Doo... was incorporated into like the Beef Council.
Maybe some kind of thing like that.
Something like that. But then he came back because they made his character vegetarian or something.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't have a little fuzzy on the details.
Because Shaggy would eat anything. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Shaggy and Scooby both must have had like second and third chambers, two or three stomachs is what I'm trying to say. They would take a 20-layer sandwich.
Yeah.
And put it in their mouth at one time.
Right, right.
But I think they would eat the toothpick too, all at the same time.
Yeah, that's so.
So that was
that confusing for you as a kid?
Yeah, that, there was something pleasing knowing that they
could get it.
They
all.
Could eat, yeah, eat that much.
Did you also find when you were watching Saturday morning cartoons? Because I definitely found this that when you're a kid, you don't understand schedules and time. So like you'd turn on the TV and it would be on and it would be like, this is awesome. Like this always is on when I turn the TV, but you don't understand that. Okay. Feel free to not agree with me on that. But you don't understand that you're on kind of a schedule. Like you don't understand that you wake up at the same time. There's certain shows, like I remember with the show Gem too, like when that was on TV, I don't know if that was Saturday mornings, but I would be like, this is awesome that I caught this.
Huh.
Doesn't seem like either of you has that. And I remember like watching Saved by the Bell even when I was a teenager and knowing about schedules and being like, this is great that this is on now, right when I want it to be.
I remember the comfort of after school cartoons.
Sure, sure. Yes. Yeah. That's good.
That's good. That's not exactly what I'm, but it's similar. It's similar.
Okay.
Yeah. What cartoons did you watch after school?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was the Bugs Bunny kind of lineup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom and Jerry, Bugs Bunny,
sure.
That kind of...
Classic.
Yeah.
We used to watch, they had this... Do you know what I'm going to say?
I know what you're going to say.
They had this thing on...
TBS,
or
I think.
TNT?
One of the two. Uh-huh.
You know how they're sort of both gone through their own... Yeah. But you can always... Yeah.
Right.
No offense to anyone from either of those
from
networks.
The who's Turner
listening.
Family.
Yeah, from
networks.
The Turner family who's listening.
Yes.
They had this guy who had like a coffee shop. It was like a coffee shop in the same way this is a coffee shop. Okay.
So a coffee shop set.
Yeah,
a coffee shop
set. But we
set.
Didn't really, I had never been in a coffee shop. So it looked like what you would think of a coffee shop would be.
So we thought this is a real coffee shop. And this guy just loves to hang in this coffee shop and talk to people.
So will you refer to the camera?
He was the host
of
a bunch of blocks of repeats of The Love Connection. So, but you could call in and ask questions. Like, you could call and talk to him, not about The Love Connection, because he sort of would introduce it and then be, yes, he was live, but The Love Connections were from like the 70s.
And did they have like extras hanging out in the coffee
shop? Yeah.
Yes. We would call in.
We would try to call in.
And we got through
once. You got through.
Yeah, and they wanted to feed us a question. Look, we had a very important question.
I don't know what our question
was. Why don't you say this
instead? Yeah, and I remember us being like, no, we don't want to ask that. Like, we didn't do it. We, like, stuck to our guns.
They hung up on us.
They hung up on us. Yeah, they were not really negotiating.
Yeah.
So it's mid-question, and they just click, we lost the line.
We said, no, this is what we want to ask, and we got disconnected. Like, it was... But it was...
The Bear Kids
from
Shaker Heights.
But it was also from the first time that we... For me, that we were like, oh, is this not...
Is TV not real?
Is it not real?
Oh.
Because we thought all the people calling in, and then we're like, is every question that someone's calling in with something that
is
they want...
Is this even a real coffee shop?
Yeah. Turns out it wasn't. So...
Those moments are hard.
That's what we... But it was so fun to watch it after school. It's also such a weird show to be watching Love Connection, but I think part of the fun of watching it was that it was from like 20 or 30 years ago, so it was like... So funny to watch the people looked sort of.
Yeah, totally.
And how they acted.
Yeah,
like it felt so outdated.
I'm trying to. It would be reruns of Batman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Too, after school.
Yeah.
Like old Adam West.
Yeah.
Batman.
Just fun to sit and watch.
Have a snack.
What were your go to kind of snacks, Will?
Wow. I'm kind of like Shaggy in that regard. I would eat anything. No, I'm trying to remember if I feel like Triscuits.
So good.
Right?
Yeah. What are you putting on those?
Wheat thins.
Any toppings?
I always love the texture and the saltiness of a Triscuit.
Yes. Sure. They're so good.
Like that Hickory Farms summer sausage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever had very smoky summer sausage and like cheese.
They'd love that at SNL.
Grapes. Oh, yeah. They go crazy for it.
Smoky.
Grapes. Yeah. Grapes are great.
Sliced apples and peanut butter.
That's such a good snack. I have that today. Call me a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But would you buy lunch or would you pack your lunch?
At a certain point, my mother refused to make our lunch.
Okay.
/ showed us how to make our own lunches.
Okay.
So yeah, my brother and I were packing our own lunches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So yeah, make like a sandwich. She did a very sweet thing though. She would, in grade school where I had a lunchbox, she'd write me notes from the lunchbox monster. It was from a monster though.
Oh, wow. That's very sweet.
And they weren't very nice messages. You're never going to amount to anything, lunchbox monster. No, they were very sweet and like...
That's so nice. Yeah. Every day?
every day. She'd do a little lunchbox monster note.
That's
with
so
a little,
sweet.
I think a caricature. She'd actually do a freehand little drawing.
Oh my gosh. I remember we would once in a while get notes from our mom. I don't know if you remember this, Jonah, but
vaguely.
Once in a while we would get notes. And I remember I got a note from her once, and I hadn't gotten one in a while. So it was really, sweet. But she wrote, I heart, and then she wrote, why? And I know she meant to do a U, but she did a Y. And I remember coming home from school and telling her and being like, thanks so much for the note. You know, you wrote, I love why. I'm in like third grade, like hypercritical. And I was said it nicely, but I just wanted to be like, you screwed
up. Just so you know.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I meant to do a U. And I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. It was like pretty crazy you did a Y.
I appreciate it, but you kind of blew it.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. It's like, that's what I remember.
But I love little third grader, like still keeping your mom's feet to the fire.
Yeah, sure. Just being like, was this on purpose?
If you're going to take the time to do it, are you trying to freak? Are you trying to mess with me?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you probably don't remember any of the notes.
I don't remember the notes, but our mom was a big note, would like make a lot of notes in her notepad around the house, like errands, things to do.
Yeah.
And then I would write in, try in her handwriting, like buy toys for Jonah or like that kind of stuff and be like, this is
sneaky.
She knew. Yeah.
She knew. Okay.
She knew.
But did she read it like this? At Jonah.
I bet.
Probably.
This was
probably
Jonah's idea. One time we cut a big tooth out of like fluorescent construction paper because we thought we would get so much money from the tooth fairy. And we left it under your pillow, Jonah. Do you remember this?
No, I don't remember this.
And then we got a note back from the tooth fairy the next day. Because the thing that was crazy
about the tooth fairy. Need real teeth.
Yes.
Okay.
And we took the note. This is so funny because I think the reason that kids think the tooth fairy is real, and
I love that back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we got a note back.
You got a note back.
We did.
So tooth fairy was making his or her rounds.
Right.
Right.
And so we got the note back and it said like, nice try. But like, you know, but I remember you and I looking at the note and being like, is that mom's handwriting? We were like trying to figure out if it was our mom or the tooth fairy. And I think like ultimately we were like, that's not my mom's handwriting. That's got to be the tooth fairy. Like
there's no precedent of a note from the tooth fairy prior to that moment.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
So how would you know?
And she wrote in sort of a cursive way, but I think she purposely wrote in all caps or she did something to kind of alter her handwriting.
And did she write nice try?
Yeah, she did. She wrote like nice try, but this clearly isn't a real tooth. I think we wrote a note with it or maybe even on it because we were like not thinking them. But we wrote like, this is a dinosaur tooth. This is very valuable.
By the way, this is not a dinosaur tooth. This is a piece of paper. Cut in the shape of it. I would love if you guys still did it even look like a tooth?
Probably not.
The shape of it?
I think it was sort of like, I think it was just sort of like a square with maybe a little rounded edges or something. And it was out of like yellow, fluorescent yellow construction paper. Like, I don't know what we thought we were pulling on the tooth fairy that she'd believe.
As a parent now, we've had moments where, well, now our boys are all too old, but we've had moments where we totally forgot. The tooth fairy just forgot. But we remembered while they were still sleeping in the morning. So it was like 7 a.m. trying to
delicately not wake
them and slide the money under the pillow while taking the weird little tiny bizarre baby tooth and extract it. I think we pulled it off though.
And just because neither Jonah nor I are parents, what do parents do with the teeth?
It's a great question. I think we've saved some of them.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure we just chucked them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a collection of like different little boxes growing up.
I thought you were going to say various teeth.
No. Well, I did kind of. It's in my parents' basement now. And I was going through it and one of the boxes had some of my teeth in it.
Okay.
And I'm like, did my mom just like throw it in there when she was leaving the money?
It's a weird moment because it's like, oh, this should be special. We probably should hang on to these.
Yeah.
But let's face it, what are we going to do with these baby teeth?
Yeah.
Are we going to give them to our children when they're adults saying, do you guys want these back? Look what we saved. Isn't this cute? No, they're little, old, tiny, gnarly teeth.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I mean, I remember seeing what I assume were my teeth in this little box and going, this is creepy.
Yeah, a little box full of teeth.
A little box full.
Yeah.
I mean, probably two or three teeth.
Not 20.
Not 20 teeth.
Too many.
But still going like, ew.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they're your teeth. That's what I'm thinking.
That's how I feel. Well, should we take a quick commercial break?
Let's take a commercial break.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Now we're going to play a game with you.
Oh, okay.
It's called Change.Dork.
Change.Dork.
Okay.
And it's otherwise known as, let's make fun of people who don't know how to use Change.org, because a lot of people go onto the website Change.org. You don't know.
I don't even know.
Okay. It's this website that a lot of people, I think, was created for social change, like for people to make petitions for these really important causes.
Injustice, the environment, okay. You know.
Yes. I think I've been sent a
You've
link.
Probably been sent a link.
Yes.
For sure.
But some people do them for less important things. So we found a few of them, and we're just going to read them and decide maybe by the end of this which one we would each support.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so the first one, I'll read the
Kick it off.
The first one. It's called Dessert After Lunch at School. It was made by this kid, Jack, and he made this petition. You can put it towards someone, like for them to read it. And he made it to the Food and Nutrition Service of America. Okay, so he says, children all over America are being fed at school, as it is a law that all schools must serve a lunch to students. But there is no law for providing a dessert after the lunch. As a student, I work hard at school and think us students deserve dessert because some of us work so hard to keep our grades up and we get nothing in return. Therefore, all students around America deserve a dessert with their school lunch.
God, I love the chutzpah.
Yeah.
Love this Jack.
Yeah.
I love that he researched and found the, what's the organization?
The Food and Nutrition Service of America.
Yeah. Do they have enough power to?
That's a good question.
I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing of them. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I remember school lunch.
Yeah.
But there always was a little dessert.
Like
part.
A little gel. I think at his school.
It's a little brownie or a cookie or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe at his school. No way.
Maybe no way at his school. It feels like a law for providing dessert after the lunch seems. I want to reserve judgment until we've heard the other one.
I agree. But if it really got momentum.
Yeah.
It would be so fun to see someone on the floor of the Congress presenting this as a bill.
Yeah. Sometimes they update these, like the person with the petition. And so he has two updates. So soon after he posted it, he wrote, hey guys, thanks for the support, but we really need more supporters if we want to actually make a difference, though. Make sure to share this petition with your friends and family. It would really help. Thanks. Then 10 days later, another update. hey guys, I just noticed that some schools actually have dessert. So I decided to take down this petition. Also, nobody has signed it in 2 weeks. This kid to me, he's got to learn. That's 2 weeks. Come on. Are you in it or you know? And also, just because some schools have it, that's not your petition. Your petition is for it to be a law.
Nationwide.
Yeah.
Right, right.
All the schools.
And also, he didn't take it down because we found it very easily.
Yeah, and it's still up. Definition of taking down.
I love the you can't admonish potential petition signers either. Like, hey, gang, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah. And look, just got 8 signatures.
He's getting pissy. I was going to ask, what's the total? What?
8. So still to this day, and it was from 2020, it's still 8. But I think it's because people think he's saying it's
That he gave up.
Yeah.
Right, right.
It's like, I can't support it if you're
Jack,
not going
to, Jack. I don't know, how badly does Jack really want this?
Seems like not that badly.
Okay, but still, let's hear.
Okay,
let's reserve.
Jonah, you want to read this next one?
Yeah, I'll move on to the
next judgment
one.
Until.
This next one is called Velcro Shoelaces.
Okay.
And this is a petition from someone to my mom. And it says, have you ever been walking, jogging, or even just doing some stretches when suddenly you trip over that dang shoelace you thought would you just tied? Hi, my name is Martha, and the problem I aim to solve is one millions of people deal with every day, undone shoelaces. Now, you may be thinking, what could possibly replace shoelaces? My answer to that is Velcro. This is not a new idea by any means, but it is one that unfortunately has mostly disappeared. If we could replace shoelaces with Velcro, many people would fall less often. Since there is no lace to tie, it would be less costing, and it would save precious seconds of time. I believe in adding Velcro to more shoes, we could get some amazing results. And this has 5 signatures so far. Well, what are your thoughts on replacing shoes with Velcro?
I mean, look, once again, I love the activism.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
Right. Sure.
Generally speaking.
Right.
I question whether there's been millions of injuries over the shoelace.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel like that's a thing.
I don't think people...
I don't feel like God, I tripped over my shoelace. Like, I did too. And I was talking to my neighbor too. They, like, it's not like this epidemic that's happening.
Right.
Also, that's a tough one. Just from a fashion sense,
I don't think anyone's
going to... Yeah. That's a tough one.
It's tough. I'm a little conflicted about this one because I am not good at... My wife Vicky's here. She knows I'm not good at tying my shoes. They come unlaced a lot.
Was that just a skill?
I know how to do it.
But you just weren't interested.
I kind of rushed through it and then it's like they come untied. The other problem I have is with my socks. I have problems getting my foot in the heel. Like the heel will be like hanging out here and she'll be like, what are you doing? I'll be like, it just seems fine to me.
So we're good to go.
I have some problems with that's a whole, maybe I can start that petition.
So are you kind of lobbying for the Velcro? Because it might just be like a quicker way, like on with my day.
I get it. Yeah. I feel like I'm a little, I can relate to this, I guess maybe a little more. Yeah. I feel that's sort of a kinship with this because I have problems.
Because I feel like there was a moment where there was the Velcro shoe.
Yeah.
And it was going to like take off because there was like even a little pouch where you could hide a key in your pouch on top of your Velcro flap of your shoe.
Oh, wow.
I remember, I don't know what type of shoe that was, but it was like, this is going to become a thing.
Huge
thing. And it never really
took off.
Well, I think we grew up sort of, you know, the 90s, you were wearing a lot of Doc Martens and stuff, and it was sort of cool to not tie your shoes.
Mm. I don't know if it was cool. I think I just never really tied my shoes.
You know
well.
How like it's like open, like kind of slouchy boots and they're not tied and you go, that's cool.
Like this person doesn't care.
But it's back to not tying.
It's back to...
My 15-year-old son.
Really?
He'll like put them on and not tie purposely.
Yeah. It's sort of like overalls, like not
but
doing
But I don't hear him saying, I got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. I got injured.
I'm going out to a party. I'm going to untie tonight, but I got to be careful.
Right.
So many people are falling.
Right.
You think if you got him a pair of Velcro shoes and we're like, hey, I got you these, like.
He's a funny kid who might be like, oh, those are cool in a contrarian way.
Right.
Yeah.
Or he might be, he loves kind of fashion. So he might be like,
yeah.
These look awful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear them.
I get that.
I do think you're right. It's like, I'm unclear on what she's asking for because it almost seems like she wants shoelaces to be outlawed. You know, like she's saying like, let's put every shoe.
Evidence by the 5 signatures.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not. Yeah. So I mean,
Jack only has 8, but if we're talking like proportionate, like.
Yeah.
That 5 is a lot less.
It is a lot less.
Jack, what Jack is asking for is a lot easier to
pull up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
That's fair. Vanessa, do you want to read
this
the third
one? This last one has to do with you.
Okay.
Okay. Will Ferrell for Batman. Have you ever seen Will Ferrell's beautiful face and thought he is the best actor? After the latest Batman movie, we are all hungry for more. Would it not be the most beautiful movie in cinematic history if Will Ferrell played Batman? Sign this petition now and be a part of history. Okay, we have to see. Who is this?
Be a part of history.
Well, there's an image of you as Batman here in the petition.
Oh,
kind of
wow.
Your face on yeah. Batman's body.
Yeah.
I'm so flattered by the sentiment and also the many mentions of my beautiful face.
Yeah.
But who did this petition?
This woman, Miriam, did it.
Miriam.
And
But
Paul.
Does Miriam realize, I mean, Batman wears a mask.
Right.
As part of the costume.
You're absolutely
for a lot of the movies.
Right.
So
that's actually such a good point.
So my beautiful face
right.
would
not
be obscured.
My words, Miriam's would be totally obscured.
Maybe she wants you as Bruce Wayne. Maybe that's,
yeah.
I don't know. And
yeah.
then there's two comments for this. One is,
yeah.
one is, and this has 10 signatures, by the way, so the most signatures
oh, okay.
of any
of
okay. we've covered. My niece wants this real bad. And I can see it as a great movie. And someone else said, I'm signing because who else would play Batman?
And that's actually Miriam who
okay,
said that.
Okay, that's Miriam. Okay, Miriam again. So it looks like maybe
Miriam.
More people. Yeah.
Miriam has a second comment?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Will, what do you think? I mean,
now, how long has this been posted for?
I know these comments are from 9 months ago. So I think this probably...
So it's only generated
it's only
10 signatures.
But also...
Gosh, if I was on social media, I'm not. I would totally create a link to like... Hey guys, sign the petition.
I mean, we can put
Batman.
It up when we post this.
Let's try
yeah.
to get
yeah.
that going.
Yeah.
Let's try
yeah.
to get.
Yeah.
I do think you'd be very good for it.
That,
I just
thank
think
you don't have to say that.
No,
I feel like you're just saying it because I'm here. Because
I sort of looked away when I
yeah.
said that. You'd be good. You'd be great.
We can make a great case to Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
yes, I agree.
Totally. Well, you know, unfortunately, we've tried to get Jonah on our high school's Hall of Fame. Through this podcast and like post, and we've only not gotten a ton of traction on that.
No.
So I don't know, but it doesn't hurt. You know, exposure is exposure.
Well, if totally. The studio came to you, they said, Will, we've gotten all these signatures, change.org. Yep. People want you as Batman. This is like what the people want. I think they call this fan service. Would you take the role? Would you have to think about it? What would you do if the people really were just
and
coming
out? And
they
said, also, Miriam wants to meet you and kind of have a thank you lunch.
A set visit.
Yeah, set visit.
Well, that, I would totally have the thank you lunch with Miriam. You guys would have to come too because
we would
you're
be so happy to.
The broker.
Right.
Yeah.
You kind of brokered this whole thing.
And
sure.
we could get sort
and
of like a.
Might as well be in the movie.
Would love.
I mean, yeah.
Would love to.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
But I hate to argue against myself. I don't know if I'd be a good bat. I don't see myself in the role.
Don't you just have to go like.
Hey.
Yeah.
Talking a gruff
yeah.
voice.
And go.
That's going to cost you. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you just, and then you go.
I've got a bad feeling.
Yeah, you're such yeah. a good Batman.
I guess if, okay, so petition goes crazy.
Right,
okay.
right.
Okay, it goes.
It's
absolutely.
On the news.
What's
it's
the
every-
barometer for 100,000 signatures? No.
They brought back a lot of like stuff to like Taco Bell and McDonald's with.
What's the threshold?
Probably
I think
like
a couple 100,000, maybe a million,
yeah.
half
maybe
a million,
million
okay. something
yeah.
like that.
We present it to Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
We all go in as a
right,
team.
Right.
Yeah.
We play them this part of the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, this is how this started.
Yeah.
And here's the evidence.
Right. Here.
And they're like, thank you for bringing this
yeah.
to our attention. If you want to, you're the next Batman.
Yeah.
I think I have to do it.
Yeah. You yeah. got to do it.
Yeah. Well, we will support you. And again, it was your idea, but I would love a part. You know, like, again, you said it. I didn't.
I think we could kind of ease my creative guilt. Your character constantly comes in and out of the story going, Batman, how are you feeling? Like, do you think you can handle this? You act as the audience in a way.
Right.
For those avid Batman followers are like, I don't buy Will Ferrell as
yeah.
Batman.
Yeah.
You can be kind of the conscience.
And also yeah. I can go, Batman, would you even, it's incredible you're here because everyone wanted you to be. Like I could remind the audience sort of like in sort of like an abstract way of like that this
how
is
it,
the
how
people's
it even happened. Yeah, the
Batman.
People's Batman. Well, I am the people's Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You sound, that's a good sound.
Very good. So, well, so just to wrap up, which one of these three would you support if you had to pick one?
This is hard because you're involved in one now.
Unfortunately, I'm just incredibly biased now towards Miriam's, so I don't think I can really see clear. I mean, Jack, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have dessert as part of school lunch.
Yeah.
It's a real sensible.
Yeah. But how can you take that over being the people's
Batman?
Yeah.
Batman.
I can't, I have to take Batman.
Vanessa?
Batman.
Batman, same. Three, Three Batmans.
Okay. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for
you
doing
guys,
this.
Thank
we
you
really
for
appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you so much. Fun.
This feels so silly to ask you, but we usually ask our guests where people can find them.
What, like, you mean like
meaning
physically?
Like, yeah, like if you, like on the globe.
I live in Los Angeles.
No. Like what project, you know, what shows what? And podcasts.
Yeah. What's happening with my career?
Right.
If they want to find
you.
You mentioned Spirited, which is still streaming. Well, it'll always be streaming on Apple Plus.
Love.
I'm there.
Okay.
And then I'll be in other movies that are coming out, maybe?
Love.
So, right?
Okay. I saw Downhill on the plane ride out here.
Oh, you
great.
Did?
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. The Europeans didn't like it, but...
What do they know?
Yeah. God, maybe that's another change.org. Get Europeans to stop criticizing American remakes of their movies? Was that what you were going to say? No, I was going to say a petition that says our version of Force Majeure is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's fine.
Sign this petition?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in Barbie, which will come out.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see that.
See, I forget when these things are coming out.
I forgot.
There's a movie called Strays, which is a live action movie with dogs, which Will Forte is the bad guy in it, but it's like an R-rated version of a Homeward Bound talking dog movie.
Wow.
Oh my
God. Sounds incredible.
So,
great.
Those are things where you can find me.
Perfect. Well, that was so fun. Thanks.
Otherwise, I'm down at Mel's Diner on Sunset Boulevard every Tuesday.
Okay.
Thanks so
lunch
much
or
for
dinner.
Joining us. If you enjoyed that. If you enjoyed
just
that.
Just block out the time. They're from 10 to 6.
Okay.
10 to 6, Mel's Diner?
Mel's Diner.
Got it. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast.
Eating the whole day through.
Keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird?
Not full meals. It's,
they say that's healthier.
We will discuss more stories from our childhood.
Yeah, just little...
Smaller meals every day.
Yeah.
Cultural touchstones, like Scooby-Doo.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.